From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The number of U.S. servicemen and women who have died in Iraq topped 1,000 today as two soldiers were killed in separate bomb attacks. President Bush had these comments on the news.
We appreciate the sacrifice of the men and women who wear the uniform. They're serving in a great cause. We mourn every loss of life. We'll honor their memories by completing the mission.
The president and administration officials say the U.S. is making solid progress in Iraq and in the war on terrorism. But the numbers of those killed and wounded underscore the continued strength of the Iraqi insurgency, as NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
The latest Americans killed in battle were slain by roadside bombs, a tactic Iraqi fighters have employed since the guerrilla attacks began more than 17 months ago. Along with those improvised explosives, insurgents continue to use rocket-propelled grenades, car bombs, and small arms ambushes with deadly effectiveness. They strike at all times across a wide swath of Iraq. General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says suicide bombings and coordinated attacks are behind the recent spike in casualties.
The enemy is becoming more sophisticated in its efforts to destabilize the country. And recently we've seen an increase in the number of suicide attacks. Make no mistake, we will continue to pursue those who seek to disrupt progress in Iraq.
April's dual uprising by Sunni insurgents and Shiites loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr claimed 134 U.S. military lives, the highest total of the war. But last month saw one of the other highest totals, with 66 service members killed. Fueled in part by fighting in Najaf, attacks on U.S. and allied forces in August averaged nearly 70 a day. The final figure is even higher if you count daily attacks on U.S.-backed Iraqi security forces. The insurgency shows no signs at all of letting up, says analyst Marcus Corbin with the Center for Defense Information.
I saw the figure of 2,700 attacks in a recent month. That's extraordinary. I mean, the people attacking U.S. forces are really mounting a very widespread campaign.
And that determined, adaptive insurgency is also increasing the number of those wounded in action. Big improvements in body armor combined with better, faster battlefield medical care has improved the chance that a soldier or Marine hit in battle will survive, but with wounds. Marcus Corbin.
The ratio of injuries to death is much higher. And I think it's interesting that the figure of 1,000 killed has finally been reached. But in August alone, there were over 1,000 wounded soldiers.
According to a Pentagon tally, just over 7,000 servicemen and women have been wounded in Iraq. Perhaps because of the attention on the 1,000th U.S. military death, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld yesterday spoke in public about something Pentagon officials almost never do, enemy body counts.
In the last month, the Iraqi forces and the coalition forces have probably killed 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 former regime elements, criminals, terrorists. Now, is that a lot? Yes. Does that hurt them? Yes. Is it a lot when you've got borders that are porous and more can come in? No.
Pentagon officials insist they're on track to help Iraqis hold elections in January. But fierce clashes with Shiite fighters continue in Baghdad's Sadr City slum. In addition, Sunni strongholds west of Baghdad remain largely under the control of insurgents and Islamic fundamentalists. Retired Army General William Nash, a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, says reasserting control of cities such as Fallujah and Ramadi is central to holding Iraq's first viable election.
The political development of Iraq is the primary goal at this time, with the concomitant requirements of economic and security development. That is what is proving most difficult because non-participation of large segments of the country will mean that Iraq does not achieve a representative government.
Defense sources say plans are in the works to eventually retake control of those insurgent-held cities, but they say key is having enough well-prepared Iraqi security forces, and Secretary Rumsfeld concedes that there are only some 95,000 Iraqi forces that are currently adequately trained and equipped, and questions remain about whether even those Iraqis are battle-ready, well-led, and loyal to an interim government backed by American military might. Eric Westerveld, NPR News, Washington.